Thank you, worship team. Our scripture today begins in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 7. Go ahead and show the next slide. But since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in the love we have kindled in you, see that you also excel in this. I need to look at my notes. We'll get that fixed. Thanks, Danny. See that you also excel in this grace of giving. Father, thank you so much for the Word of God. Thank you that it is bread to feed our soul. And I pray you would feed us this morning in this important, basic topic of giving. Speak to us, encourage us, fill us at this time. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want you to see all the warm things that Paul has to say to this church in Corinth. He praises them for their excellence in everything, in faith, speech, knowledge, earnestness, and love. That's impressive. You guys believe like Christians. Check. You talk like Christians. Check. You think like Christians. Check. You are eager Christians. Check. You love like Christians. Check. That's a good scorecard. I mean, if anyone said that about us, that would feel good, right? That would be wonderful. But Paul says there's one thing that's missing in your discipleship. You are not giving like Christians. You're not giving like Christians. This Corinthians church was started by Paul. He lived there a year and a half. They're making good progress, but when it came to generosity, they were procrastinating. They were reluctant. They were not following through. In the letter of 1 Corinthians, Paul asked the church to give, to get an offering ready. Well, now it's the second letter to the same church, 2 Corinthians. It is 1 year later, and there's no offering. There's no giving. They still haven't done it. What's the offering for? Remember at the Jerusalem Council in Acts 15, the leaders asked Paul, when you're out there on your missionary journeys, when you're establishing new churches, ask the churches to remember the poor in Jerusalem. Remember the poor in Jerusalem. So Paul is keeping his promise. He's planting churches, and he's asking these churches to give a love gift to the mother church back in Jerusalem, where the Christians there were suffering great persecution, and they needed help. So we read in 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9, those two chapters are reminders to the church then and to us now to give like Christians, to make it a priority, and to give now, not to put it off. And surprisingly, Paul mentions in chapter 9 that several of the smaller, the poorer churches in Macedonia, that's just north of Corinth, they didn't need a reminder. They had already given. They had already given a generous gift. But what's wrong with the Corinthians? Why are they dragging their feet? Why are they so tight-fisted? So Paul is nudging them in this chapter. He's giving them an apologetic for generosity. This is the way you want to live. So that's the situation in chapters 8 and 9 of 2 Corinthians, summed up in this one verse, see that you excel in the grace of giving. So that's my basic truth today in our Back to Basics series, excel in giving. So the outline, first, excel in the amount you give, chapter 9, verse 6. Then excel in the attitude of giving, verse 7. Excel in the ability to give, verse 8. And then excel in the abundance of giving, verse 10 and to the end of the chapter. So let's do these one at a time. First, excel in the amount to give. Verse 6, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. So here, Paul is calling giving sowing. I think city folks can understand what that is, all right? Country folks know what that is. You put a seed in the ground in one season, and then you reap in another season. So remember this. When you give, maybe nothing happens today. Maybe it does seem pointless today. Don't judge the benefits of giving in 5 minutes or 5 days. You have to wait to reap the benefits in another season in the future. One thing I can say for sure, there's no reaping if there's no sowing. Well, maybe I should say there is reaping, but it's not the kind of reaping you want. It's the failure to reap. The failure to sow also brings another harvest, which you don't want in your life. So step one is to get some amount of seed in the ground. Get some giving going so it can get to work and reap a benefit for others and for you. Why this Corinthian church was dragging their feet? Why were they delaying? Well, some of them had a little problem with Paul. Paul had to defend himself. That's part of the reason. They thought maybe that Paul was taking the money for himself. He wasn't. He was making tents and paying his own way. So they haven't been giving for a year, so that means they lost a whole harvest season. And the more you delay in giving, the more you delay in the harvest of giving. So remember this too. How big of a harvest do you want? Well, that depends how much seed you put in the ground. And that's why Paul urges us to excel in giving, whatever the amount. Jesus talked about this too. He said in Luke 6:38, give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. So excelling in giving means to excel in the harvesting. And that's why you want to get started. We should be eager to give, whether it's a little amount or a lot, because the sooner we begin our season of giving, the sooner we begin the season of harvesting and reaping the benefits. Second, excel in the attitude of giving. Verse 7, each of you should give what you have decided in your heart, in your mind to give, not reluctantly, under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. So once you excel in the amount to give, Paul says, excel in the attitude of giving. Excel in giving freely and cheerfully. Do not give reluctantly or under compulsion. And cheerfully in the Greek is the word for hilarious. So grace giving is willing and cheerful giving. No Christian should ever be manipulated, forced, or shamed into giving. That is wrong. God is the original cheerful giver, and when we give, we are doing what God loves. When we give, we are doing what God loves. Cheerful giving gives God joy, and it should have an immediate positive effect on us too. While the harvest of giving comes later, the attitude of giving begins immediately with joy. Have you ever met a generous person with a bad attitude? I haven't. Giving and cheerfulness go hand in hand. One time, my wife Cindy planted a tomato plant right by the outside of our house, and I was a little annoyed at first because I wanted to mow there. And I had to mow around that thing, and I just wanted to zip, get that thing done So, well, okay. So I mowed around it. My attitude wasn't too good. And then we watched that thing grow. It was just, it was in like super soil. And that, I don't know, it was just like, had superpowers, this little tomato thing. And that thing just grew. It was just gigantic. And boy, my attitude changed when I started to see those vines go out and those beautiful, ripe, red, juicy tomatoes. Oh, they were so good. Oh, I miss them. I want them. And then I thought to myself, why didn't she plant two? Why didn't she plant four? Why didn't she plant eight? My whole attitude changed. She just put in one. Why didn't she do more? That should be our attitude when it comes to giving. Three, excel in the ability to give, verse 8. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all you need, you will abound in every good work. Remember, our basic truth today is excel in the grace of giving. What is grace giving? Why does Paul call it grace giving? Grace giving is God-enabled giving. God is able, it says, to do what? To help you give, to help givers give, and to keep givers giving. God is able. He gives you the ability to give and to keep on giving. Generous people, they're not going to suffer. They're not going to suffer for their giving. God blesses them. Look at all the alls in this verse. All things, all times, all they need for every good work. God always gives his all when we give to him. Even if we just give some, he gives his all. When you give to God, God gives back much more so you can continue giving and not be discouraged. Just the same when you serve God, God supplies you with all you need so you can continue serving. Many of you, we have a lot of busy hobbits at Living Rock Church. This morning is a good example. We had to haul all this stuff over from the farm property. There was a lot of setup today. We had a lot of hobbits in this gym early this morning, busy serving. So I thank God for all the busy workers at Living Rock Church. But there is times when we say, do I have to go? It's Wednesday night, and you want to come to Awana, or you want to come to student ministry. I remember a Wednesday night earlier this year that I put in a full day, and I came home. It was 5:15. I thought, I'm just going to sit down. I'm just going to sit down for 10 minutes. 10 minutes turned into an hour and a half. Because I couldn't move. I sat down, I couldn't move. But how many times, how many Wednesday nights, how many Sunday mornings, how many ministry times has the Lord given us strength to keep going? Is that your testimony? Try VBS 5 nights in a row. God keeps the givers going. This time of year, our staff, the Living Rock staff, we're busy recruiting volunteers. You'll hear all about sign-ups for nursery and Sunday kids and Sunday worship and tech people and setup and tear down teams. And then there's the Wednesday night ministry, Awana student ministry. We are in pretty good shape this fall. We have a lot of people helping, but more hands and feet will be needed. You're going to hear about that. And when you pray about it, when you wonder if you have the time and strength to serve and give, you just remember these three words. God is able. And God will bless you in every good work. So giving graciously and thoughtfully and cheerfully gives God an opportunity to bless you abundantly. You want to be filled with more of Jesus? Start giving and serving Jesus. And we read from verse 8 now to the end of the chapter. It's all about how God is able to bless his people when they give. So let's look at this fourth and final point, excel in the abundance of giving, verse 10. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. So verse 10 sounds very much like a prayer, doesn't it? And it's filled with God's promises for this Corinthian church, for us, that God will supply for all his grace givers. And from here to verse 14, the abundance of giving is explained. And it is bread, and it is food, and it is more seed, a storehouse of all these things. It is wealth and health, but it is more. What is the harvest? It tells us what the harvest is. It is an enlarged harvest of your righteousness. That's the harvest. Grace giving means more righteousness in your life. Giving makes us more righteous like God. Grace giving returns to you in grace living. And we need grace to live the Christian life. So let me read verse 11 to verse 14. You will be enriched in every way, so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Verse 13, because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and everyone else, and their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. So all the returns of grace giving are listed here. Many of them are listed here. They are duty-free gifts of grace. Thanksgiving to God is mentioned three times. God gives us a thankful heart when we give. God supplies the needs of the Lord's people, it says in verse 12. And it also says that giving is confessing the gospel. Giving is a gospel witness, verse 13. And it also says in verse 14 that there's a bond through giving. It unites us in fellowship. There's a bonding of brothers and sisters in Christ in a deeper fellowship that is formed through generosity. So this is Paul's final appeal, apologetic in prayer, that we would experience what it means to excel in the abundance of giving. We're left with no good reason and no excuse not to give. There's only good news for the Christian who excels in grace giving. Someone said, when you give to God, God gives back to you money or what money cannot buy. And most of us need the things that money can't buy, like a more abundant life, like more peace, like more grace to obey the Lord Jesus, more righteousness to shine for him. These are the things that are promised when we give. So what's the conclusion? Excel in giving. Excel in grace giving. Brothers and sisters, let's start now. If we start now, the harvest will come sooner. There are opportunities to give of our time and talents and treasure. Find a ministry task, find a ministry team in the church, and we invite you to serve this coming year. We need people to pray every week for the church. I want you to pray for the church. I want you to pray for the staff. I want you to pray for our building team, for Sheldon and Brenda and Grant and myself and others who join us, because we're finishing up those plans in the next month or two. Now, what if you want to give to Living Rock? Well, here's how we do it. There's a green pail on the back table. Why is there a green pail on the back table? That's where we take the offerings. It's got a little slit on the top, and you put an envelope, you put your name on there, and your gift, and you put it in there. That's how we give. And that little bucket keeps us going strong. God has blessed us in that little green bucket. You can give online on the website. Some people give by mail. They tell their bank. I don't know how it works, but you can tell your bank to send a check to Living Rock. And then I walk out to the mailbox, and there's a check to Living Rock. I don't open it. I don't look at the giving. That's between you and the Lord. I give it to the tellers, and they record it. Give regularly if you can. Above all, you decide what to give freely and cheerfully. That's the rule. And I don't want you to miss out on the harvest that's coming for you and to Living Rock in the coming year. Now, let me say a word to you old folks like me. There's another kind of giving I want you to think about. It's the kind of giving Cindy and I have already done for the church. It's called legacy giving. It's when you go and you meet with someone to work on your will. And in our will, we have given a gift to Living Rock. So when we're under the ground pushing daisies in glory, we're sending a gift to you guys, all right? How do you do that, Pastor? You go on the Living Rock Church website. You go to the giving page. There's a form there that says Orchard Alliance. Orchard Alliance, that's our denominational helpers. You click on that, you send them your name, they will contact you, and there are people who know how to do this. They are consultants. You won't have to pay them anything. And you say, well, here's my wood, hay, and stubble. You tell them what your wood, hay, and stubble is, all your stuff, and they'll say, well, what do you want to do? Well, I want to give some of it to Living Rock Church. I want to give some of it to this cause, to these family members. They will give you counsel on what to do with your stuff. I can't help you with that. They can help you with that. They help me with that. And then you go find a lawyer, an attorney, and you sign those papers. Please do that. Please consider. If you're old like me and you haven't updated your will, you need to do that anyway for the sake of your family. Can I say that? That needs to be done. Because things have changed, and you will feel better if you get that work done. The last verse is verse 15. Here's how Paul ends this section on giving. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. That's what you want to remember in giving. Who is the indescribable gift of God? Who is that? That's Jesus. And once you know the gift of Jesus Christ, the gift of eternal life, oh, you just want to give your life back to him. I got a story from Facebook from Ruth Unseth. It's about what happened this year in Mendon, Missouri, population 171. They're 2 hours east of Kansas City. One day there was a dump truck stuck on the train tracks. At the same time, two diesel locomotives and 7 superliner cars came plowing down the train tracks, and there was a gigantic, gigantic crash, and the entire train was derailed. The whole train was laying on its side. The story made the national headlines, of course. But no one heard about Mendon's magnificent people. Here's the rest of the story. Sure, you heard about the wreck, 150 injured, 4 fatalities, but you didn't hear about the residents of Mendon. Nearly every single resident rushed to the scene of the accident. Throngs of ordinary townspeople arrived before the first responders even knew about the crash. The district superintendent said we probably had too many volunteers show up. 2 Boy Scout troops helped the injured victims from the wreckage. The local high schoolers were making bandages out of bandanas. Old women recited the Lord's Prayer alongside strangers in blood-stained clothes. There were farmers, off-duty nurses, truck drivers, soccer moms, little league coaches, and grade schoolers. They were doling out food, first aid, bottled water, and most importantly, phone chargers. Victims were taken to homes, fed and bathed and bandaged. Weeping passengers were embraced by rural preachers. Passengers using wheelchairs were lifted from the rubble by young men in camouflage caps. Local school bus drivers transported the wounded to hospitals. The high school staff members triaged victims in the gymnasium and fed the people in the cafeteria. One resident said that Mendon didn't feel like 171 people. It felt like 671 people all coming together. And the most unusual thing about all this, none of this was unusual, at least not within the national tapestry of what is the great American small town. Although we rarely hear about such acts of compassion and loving kindness within our society, believe me, they happen every day, every hour. Ordinary Americans will astound you with their goodwill. Sadly, ordinary American journalists aren't interested in being astounded by such generosity. The world doesn't seem to care about generosity. The world just wants to take and take and take and take. And you may not be noticed if you live a generous life, but God sees it, and God rewards it. Father, thank you for this word. Today, I want the givers of Living Rock to be given more grace for another season of ministry. That's your promise. I want us as a body to excel in the grace of giving. I want Living Rock Church to be blessed with a great harvest in the coming year. We thank you for all the ways you have helped us. Even this morning, you helped us get ready to have worship, and I thank you. And I thank you ahead of time for all the ministry that will be given for your glory in the coming year. We love you. Help us to excel in following you in every way, and send us more grace and more strength to keep on giving for your glory and your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.